You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Go Wild. Now, the Go Wild app has added some really cool and exciting functionality to their app. And the first one I want to talk about is the Near Me function. And basically what this does, it allows you to engage and connect with people in your area. You guys can talk about gear. You guys can talk about hunting areas. You guys can talk about what's going on in the woods. And it just allows the users to be more of a community and connect easier. The second part is the Gearbox. And what the Gearbox is, it is an opportunity for the users to not only see reviews on products and see what the Go Wild community is using in the field, what products they're using, but it also allows you guys to purchase up to 150,000 products. There's a shopping function on it. So check out the Go Wild app. If you haven't downloaded it to your phone yet, you need to, and you can do that at any app store that is currently available. Go Wild. It's an awesome app. Check them out.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Thomas. Today's episode is kind of cool. Got Andy and Micah with me.
Is that the cool part?
Yep.
That definitely. Is sweet. Best part of the show.
Best part right of the show. We have got, I don't know, kind of a cool show. We're talking to...
It's a Maj Pasha shows is what it is.
Yeah. That's what it is, yeah. We're talking to three of the five Missouri Elk Lottery winners. And so we're talking to Gene Gilkey, Sam Schultz, and Bill Clark.
Yep. And Bill is the landowner draw.
Right.
Yes. So he has a little different perspective than the rest of them, just for the general purpose, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, he's going to have the hardest time when it comes to hunting.
Yeah.
Just because he's limited to his chunk of ground.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. So what we're doing is we talk to each one of those three guys for about, 20, 30 minutes apiece, talk about how they found out, how excited they are, maybe what they're planning on doing.
Their perspective.
Yeah, yep. Different tactics.
Different tactics, different backgrounds, different stories. It's cool to hear, Gene just a year ago was diagnosed with cancer and now
he's supposed to be with us.
Right. Now he's getting a chance to hunt elk and, Sam hunted elk years back out west and is getting the chance again here. And
yeah, all of them actually that we talk to have had some sort of experience, wherever it might be, of hunting some type of big game or elk.
Right. Yeah. Gene's never hunted, I don't think, from what I remember, an elk specifically.
Right.
But he's hunted most of his life.
Yeah, right. He's hunted it his whole life. So yeah. It's pretty cool. We had fun talking to the different guys, kind of living vicariously through them.
Yeah.
If that's a word.
We will.
I think
be.
I used it right. Because we didn't get lucky enough. So. And we didn't get to talk to all five of them, not everybody wanted to come on our show, which is cool.
Just
so,
fine.
Yeah.
We're happy that we got to talk to three of them. So and hope y'all.
Yeah. We're hoping that they all have success and that
heck
we'll
yeah.
talk to them when it's over.
It'd be more fun to talk to the three of them after it's over about their cool harvest.
Yep.
So absolutely. Yeah, we
wish them here.
Nothing but success. So anyway, I hope you all enjoy it. You guys got anything before we start this off?
Enjoy the
Let's
show.
Let's roll.
Oh, we've got our first one, I think, we're going to start with is Gene Gilkey. So, Gene is from Liberty, Missouri, I believe, and he will be the first one, and then we will go from there. So, hope you guys enjoy it. This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. All right, welcome to the show. Got a good one. We are excited. This is the first of our elk lottery winners that we will be talking to. So everybody, introduce you to Gene Gilkey of Liberty, Missouri. Gene, what's going on?
Hey, how are you guys tonight?
Doing good.
Fantastic.
Yeah, fantastic. We're excited to talk to you, dude. I'm guessing I talk for all three of us when I say that we are all jealous of you. That's the first thing I want to say.
For sure.
Well, I tell you what, this is a dream come true for me. I never thought I'd have a chance to elk hunt, let alone elk hunt in my home state. So I'm just I'm thrilled to be able to get the chance to do it.
Yeah, you're one of the first five, man. There's only first five at one time.
Yeah,
and how?
Yeah, there's
years?
No pressure, but I'm trying to be the first one that takes an elk too.
Hey,
so.
That'd be cool. But you know, from the three of us, first off, congrats. That is totally awesome. You know, we knew chances weren't great of winning, and five lucky people were gonna get that opportunity. So it's cool to know that somebody that actually lives relatively close to us was able to win that. So, so first thing we want to ask you is, why don't you introduce yourself, let people get to know you a little bit, where you're from, and to help people get to know you a little more, what is your favorite thing about Missouri and its outdoors?
Okay. So, well, my name's Gene Gilkey. I'm originally from the big metropolis of Lawson, Missouri. I spent most of my life there. And ended up in Kansas City. I'm in Liberty right now. Grew up in North Missouri, hunting, you know, rabbits and squirrels when I was a kid, and kind of graduated into, as I got older, deer hunting and turkey hunting. And when I was a kid, you know, you had to draw a lottery just to get a doe tag in deer hunting. So conservation has brought that program so far, and then this elk hunting thing is just like that. I mean, the conservation department, millions of dollars I know they put in to get reintroduced elk back into Missouri. Yeah. And we're all, I'm the first beneficiary because I'm one of the first five. So, you know, you have to thank the MDC for that. But, you know, I've hunted probably for 50 years, and I tell you what, it's a thrill to get a trophy buck, or it's a thrill to get a big gobbler. But, you know, just being out there, I've had so many moments where you're in a tree stand and you see a raccoon come in with her kids from a night out, you know, and you see that when you're out there, and it just brings you such peace about, you know, that's all around us. If we just get out there in the woods, whether you take an animal or not, if you just get out the woods out in there, there's just so much to see and enjoy.
100%.
Yeah, we've got that answer quite a bit. I think that's, you know.
Yeah, that's usually what everybody says. And I mean, it's perfect because it's so true. I mean, we all do it for different reasons and stuff, but everybody can agree, even if you don't have success, you get out there and you experience those things, it brings so much joy to you. And I mean, that's one of the main reasons why we all do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, you pass it on to your kids. I taught my sons how to deer hunt when they were, you know, 11, 12, 13, and then turn around and 20 years later, my oldest son took me turkey hunting and he'd gotten into it, and I'd never done it before. But he turns around and then he's showing me how to turkey hunt and taking me turkey hunting. So, you know, you give to that next generation, but he's giving right back to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty awesome. So how'd you find out you got drawn? That's, you know, what were you doing when you found out?
You know, I was at work and my personal phone rang, and I don't answer my personal phone at work, and I have a smart watch. So it came up that it was Eminence, Missouri. And just by chance, we're going floating in Eminence, this coming weekend. So I thought, oh, there must be a problem with my camping reservations or something. So I better call whoever it was back. So I get back to my phone and I call them, and it rang through to the Missouri Department of Conservation. I thought, oh, I must have dialed the wrong number or something, you know. So I dialed it again, and it goes right back to the Missouri Department of Conservation. I said, well, that's odd. I don't know anybody at the Missouri Department of Conservation. And so as I'm thinking about it, I look and I've got a an email from the biologist, Jaron Hildreth, and congratulating me on being one of the five people drawn. And I literally jumped up out of my chair in the office, and I'm screaming, I won, I won. Everybody's looking at me like, I don't know what the old guy won, but he won something, you know. And I'm telling them, I got drawn for Missouri's first elk hunt, and they were just, you're just blankety blank and kidding me. And I said, I am not blankety blank kidding anybody. So it was just, and of course I called my wife, and my older son, and who will probably, he'll hunt with me for sure. And I told him, and he said, "You're blankety blank and kidding me too." I said, "If I get an elk, I'm going to name him blankety blank kidding me." That's for sure.
That's
awesome. It was just such a thrill.
Oh, absolutely. So now you found out you got drawn, and you're super excited. So what's your plan going forward? Do you plan on going and doing any scouting or anything along those lines? Because I'm in your bio, it says that you plan on doing the archery and the rifle. So what's your plan moving forward?
Yeah, so I'm like I said, we're going on a float trip this weekend. That'll be my first actually venture into the area. So I'm going to try to really just try to get my bearings. And then archery season, I'm going to hunt both weekends with a crossbow.
Okay.
And mainly for scouting. I mean, obviously, if I get a chance at one, I'm going to take it. But I don't really expect to get close enough one with a crossbow. It could happen. But really, I'm just going to scout for rifle season. And then when rifle season rolls around, I'll hunt all 9 days in rifle or until I get an elk, hopefully.
That makes sense.
Are you going to do any this is especially, you know, for someone who's not been down in the area, it'd be like, you know, sort of like when we go out west, if we go into a new spot, are you going to do any Google Earthing, stuff like Onyx? You going to do any e-scouting over the summer to kind of get yourself ready?
Yeah, already there's a hunting app. I think it's X-Hunt, maybe?
XO?
Yeah,
it could be Onyx.
So, yeah, Onyx. Yep.
Right, that's it. So my son turned me onto that app. So I went ahead and got that and paid the yearly fee for Missouri. So I've been just kind of overhead scouting, you know, now. So I'm going down, like I said, this weekend, and I'm going to take one day, and I've met up with a person down there that'll kind of take me around and show me where the local people are seeing the elk, you know, on public land.
Awesome.
Yeah, that'll be I'm gonna guess that's probably gonna be your most beneficial, is that local resource.
Yeah, I
mean, right. Yeah,
you can look all day long on, you know, Onyx and different things like that, but until you put boots on the ground and talk to people, that's where it all comes about.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, so I've met this guy down there, and he's gonna show me, like, he travels quite a bit down in that area. He's from down there, and he travels the roads. So he's going to, you know, show me, say, "Hey, you know, over here," and take me to these spots. And then I'll mark them in Onyx. And, mm-hmm. and so at least that I'll formulate my game plan out of where he's telling me he's seeing them.
Yeah.
So is this somebody you knew before or somebody that you've met through this process?
Met through the process. Actually, it's kind of convoluted, but I have an older brother. And when he found out, he knew a person up here in North Missouri that he used to hunt on this lady's land.
Okay.
So he gets me in contact with this lady, and so I call her and tell her what's going on, and she doesn't have any land, but she knew some people down there that had, you know, that were locals, had been down there all their life, and kind of knew the area. So she turned me on to one of those people.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I would think the locals down there, they're probably willing to give a helping hand in this situation. I mean, they know there's only five people.
Everybody I've talked to, yeah, you know, the places I'm going to camp and things like that, you tell them, hey, I drew one of those tags, and they're just so excited to speak to somebody that's drawn one of the tags, and you know, hey, if there's anything we can do, give us a call, you know. So it's just been really, really helpful down in that area.
Yeah,
awesome.
Well, and now circling back to you, so now we read your bio, but so you haven't hunted elk before in your life, right? This is going to be a first for you.
This is a first and probably my one and only shot.
Oh man, I'll tell you what, you don't say that, because you might get the bug and you might be traveling west after that. You never know.
Yeah, I might be hitting the high road going to Colorado or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, the last thing I kind of want to ask, you know, and we might have some more questions based on what you talk about, but what does this mean to you? I mean, this is some, you know, a guy like you has never hunted elk, you know, reading your bio, you really probably haven't hunted elk because of the cost involved and you know, the travel and stuff. What does this mean to a guy like you who, you know, has never gotten that chance?
I tell you what, thinking about the last year, it it's unbelievable. I know you guys read my bio, but I had cancer last year in stage 4B, and it was touch and go if I was even going to see Christmas last year.
Oh, wow. Oh, goodness.
And
well, I'm glad you're here with us now.
You know, look, it changes you when you go through something like that. I didn't know that I'd ever hunt again. And then, you know, thank God I'm 100% cancer free now, but just good. The opportunity to do something that I never dreamed, you know, I guess the closest thing I can relate it to is I told somebody at work when Roy Williams left Kansas to coach at his alma mater, that was so special. And it's kind of like that. I've always, you know, kind of wanted to. I've told my wife in the past, man, I'd love to go out west and hunt an elk or a bighorn sheep, but I'm just a regular old guy. I'm not a CEO of nothing. I'm just paycheck to paycheck like everybody else. And I knew I'd never have that kind of money, but you know, to get this chance, you know, at my age, it's just words can't describe just the joy and the feeling I get thinking I have this chance to do something that nobody's ever done in Missouri, and only 5 people get the chance this year. Yeah, so it's really special.
No, that really is awesome. I think it, it's a perfect story. I mean, right. A year ago you were fighting for your life based on what you just said to us, which really sucks, and glad you made it, man. That's yeah. Good. I mean, elk at that time don't mean anything, but now that you're here and still kicking, you get to go, you know,
enjoy the
majestic animal.
And I told my son, you know, of course my strength's not what it was even a year ago, and I'm older. I'll be 60 in a few weeks, so it's not like I'm some bodybuilder that I'm going to go pack out, you know, an elk quarter by myself. I might be able to carry it 10 feet for a picture or something like that. Yeah, photo op dad packing the elk out. But you know what? I invested in a renovated GoPro, and I hope to get some elk on that camera that we can take some pictures. And it's just, for me, it's the trip of a lifetime. It's something I never thought I'd have the chance to do. Sure, I want to get one, but really, if I can just see one in the wild, it's just going to be a thrill in itself.
No, you're absolutely, you're dead right. We've all been, we all go out west elk hunting, and the first time I ever saw an elk on the hoof in the wild, my jaw literally dropped, and it was like seeing a ghost. Hold on, man. Sorry.
That's okay.
My bad. Anyway, yeah, first time, got to figure out how to do not disturb on that thing. Anyway, first time I ever got to see one in the wild was, you know, my jaw dropped. It was like seeing this ghost.
Wow.
So, I mean, you really will. Maybe it's just me, but I don't know about you guys, but the first time you saw an elk, it is something different.
It changes you a little bit. It really does. I mean, because more than likely, everybody's driven down the road and seen a whitetail at some point.
About one on the way over.
Yeah. I mean, you see them almost daily. But elk, and us being from the Midwest, we don't get that opportunity to see them. Right. So once you actually do see them, it really does. It changes you. And it's just, they're awesome creatures. And to be able to hunt them here in our home state is just extra extraordinary, I guess.
Mind to the first time for me in the wild, my arrow went about 5 feet over its back.
a little nervous.
It'll happen.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's just, and it's like I said earlier, you know, when I grew up, I would go deer hunting and you wouldn't see a buck. And so if you don't, you know, you don't even have a chance at a doe. When I was young, you couldn't even shoot. And then they put the lottery in, and you guys probably don't remember that, but you applied in August and for certain areas, and it was only good in certain counties. And as the Department of Conservation brought the herd back, now there's just deer everywhere. But I can still remember that first whitetail I ever even got a chance to shoot. And it was just so, it still sticks out. And that's been over 30 years ago. because, you know, when you're growing up, you don't even have the chance. And that's the way this elk is. You know, I never dreamed I would have a chance to go elk hunting, much less to go elk hunting within, you know, 200 or 300 miles of my home.
Right.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And now talking about the hunting, are you going to change up as far as your gear goes different than what you do whitetail? I mean, like, I know a lot of people around here, they run like muck boots or something like that. Have you thought about what kind of gear you're going to be using down there while you're hunting them?
Oh yeah. I've rethought it 20 times, you know, I mean, I use like a muck boot when I hunt in the winter because they're warm, but I don't hike that far. So I've invested in some hiking boots that are, you know, thermal down to like 20 below or whatever it is. So I have invested in some gear. I'm going to use just a 30-06 of Browning, and that's what I shoot whitetail with.
Yeah.
I'll probably up the grain of the bullet to 180. I usually shoot a 150. But I don't, like, I went and bought a backpack because we go to the deer stand and hunt all day. Well, I've never been out here in the woods actually pursuing an elk and hiking through the woods to find them. So
right. That's
all going to be hiking through the woods instead of just going up and sitting in a stand and waiting for them to come by.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So have you thought about your game plan as far as calling? Are you going to try bugling at them? Are you going to cow call? Well, have you thought about any of that yet?
I've ordered some cow calls, some mouth calls in the tube for bugling. I'm no good at it. I hear those guys on TV, and I watched it. I don't know if you know that. Like, his name's Randy Newberger. I watch him. And when I was sick last year, I found him. You know, I was recuperating at home. And I found him, and I thought, man, that's really interesting. So I kind of got on his website and found the calls he uses. And thought, surely I can. But that mouth call, man, it's a killer. I can't. Mine sounds more like kind of a dying bird than an elk.
Well, they all do. They all start somewhere, man. I mean, just keep blowing on it.
That's what I told my wife. Says, you're not very good. I said, the first 3 days, I couldn't even get it to make sound. So come on, I've got to do something.
So you're a fan of those videos, then, those YouTube videos?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've watched that Randy. I've watched. I think he's had 7 or 8 seasons, and I just went through them. I like him. He hunts, you know, BLM land, you know, and he's really. Of course, I just see him on TV. It could all be an act, but he seems like a sincere hunter that has the right values.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
Another one, you would really enjoy. Sorry to cut you off. My bad. Another one you would really enjoy, especially in the next couple months, getting you pumped up for this. We all really enjoy. It's called Born and Raised, Land of the Free. So they have 2 seasons, I think. Land of the Free seasons, or is it 3?
3 seasons.
And they, it's some fun hunting. I think it's all on YouTube.
Yep.
Yeah. If you just search Born and Raised. They hunt with Randy and Corey Jacobson. Okay. Well, maybe not Randy. I know Corey Jacobson and some different guys. It's fun to watch. So if you enjoy those YouTube videos, they're good. Corey Jacobson, another one to watch. Yep. There's some really good ones out there that we're probably forgetting too. But
I watch Randy on there. You know, one of the things that, you know, I said, he just seems like an ethical hunter, but I heard him say on, and I don't even remember what he was pursuing. Maybe it was an elk. But he had shot the animal and wounded it. And as I remember, he never did find it. But he had like 3 or 4 more days to hunt. And he said on camera, he said, I will not shoot another animal. I have to find that one or spend the season. And I thought, you know what? A lot of guys that miss, especially a big-time TV hunter, he could turn around and just shoot another one and nobody would know. You know, but he made that statement, and that, you know, that's the kind of values that hunters should have, a sense of ethics and pride in what they do.
Without a doubt.
100% agree with you.
Absolutely.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, anything we can do to help you, I mean, we're not pros. But we do elk hunt. So, I mean, if there's anything, I mean, you've got my number and stuff like that. We don't live too far away either. We can okay. definitely try to help you out, whatever you need to get ready. And, hell, if you need help packing something out, I guess I'll drive down and help you out if you really need it. I'm
well, I say, I think like we'd that. All love to be part of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah.
I really appreciate it, guys. I may take you up on it because I know nothing about it other than what I see on TV. And that's not like putting feet on the ground and actually taking that shot. So I may take you up on it.
Hey, worst thing you can do is wander around aimlessly for 19. Is it 18 days?
I think it's 18 days.
Yeah, worst thing you can do is wander around 18 days aimlessly, and you're eventually going to run into something.
So, honestly, I don't even think that's the worst thing. That might be a pretty good strategy.
Yeah. So, well,
yeah, there could be worse things in life than being out in Missouri's nature for 19 days, right?
Yep, especially in October and December, man.
So, right.
Well, like I said, congrats on drawing. We're super excited for you. We wish you nothing but the best. We hope you bring something home.
And we want to talk to you whenever you do have
success. Oh, yeah, that's another one.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, if you're down for it, we'd love to talk to you after your hunt, too, and see how everything went, even if you didn't kill something. I think it'd be a fun...
Talk about your experience.
Yeah, I think it would be fun. So
I'd love it. I appreciate it. Thank you guys so much.
Well, glad that, you know, this tag went to somebody who really appreciates it and really, you know, takes the Missouri outdoors for what it is and puts value, you know, on what's going on here. So thank you for that. Thank you for, you know, appreciating what's going on here.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I appreciate all you guys are doing.
All right. All right. You guys got anything else?
I'm good.
All right. Congrats again, Gene.
Good luck.
Thank you so much.
All right. So that's the short clip with Gene Gilkey. So thank you to Gene for coming on and talking with us. We wish Gene
best of luck.
The best of luck. Seems like a great guy and happy that he's doing better and healthy now. And we will get into the next person we're talking to is Sam Schultz. Sam is sort of like us. He's been hunting his whole life, big bow hunter. Went out west to Colorado some years back and harvested a bull and with a bow, I believe. And so we're going to talk to him. So next up is Sam Schultz. Enjoy the talk. All right, next guest we got, Sam Schultz. Sam, did I say that correctly?
Yep, Sam Schultz.
All right, we got Sam Schultz, one of our lucky elk lottery winners again, here to talk to us about, you know, winning the lottery, literally, right?
Literally the lottery.
I hear that off. Sure played the lottery is what I hear.
Hey, sometimes this one might be a little better off than the other lottery, I would say.
I think the odds are a little better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I guess they are a little better since how I won one, but I mean, the other people, they don't think so.
Right. Sure. Well, first off, man, we want to say congrats. Why don't you, before we get into, you know, all the details here, why don't you just introduce yourself, you know, tell folks where you're from, and then, like I'm doing with all the different guys and gals, why don't you just kind of tell us what your favorite thing about the Missouri outdoors is?
Sure. I live in a little town called Winfield, Missouri. I would say it's about 50 miles north of St. Louis, right along the Mississippi River, or 60 miles south of Hannibal.
Okay.
I'm a union carpenter, been that for an extremely long time. And as far as the Missouri outdoors, I don't know what there's not to love about it. Got to, I mean, you can do about whatever you want here now, especially now that elk are in it.
Including elk.
Including, yeah.
It's easy for me to say that because I was able to get a test. So.
Right.
Yeah. No, that's you're exactly right. I think it's cool to ask that question. Although I need to think of other stuff to ask because I pretty much get that same answer. You know, I love everything. I mean, which is the right answer. I mean, there's nothing not to love about the outdoors in this state. So you're 100% right. One thing we're going to ask all the different guys we talked to, how did you find out? What were you doing when you found out that you won the drawing?
Actually, I was at work. I was pulling over to another job site when I got the call, and I typically don't answer numbers that I don't recognize. Mm-hmm. And I have no, I don't know why I did, but I answered at that time. So I pulled over aside and I answered. At first, I really thought it was, wasn't sure of a joke or not. I have some pretty cruel friends, you know. So even after I talked to her, I still didn't really say anything to anybody. Only told one or two people because, like I said, I needed verification, I guess.
Oh, we get it.
That's awesome. Why the hell did I not think to do that to one of you guys?
Oh, man. You would have had me for sure.
Oh, yeah. God. That's stupid.
Because it was like 2 weeks before the actual day when you say you can check
mm-hmm.
is when I found out. And I had mentioned something to my uncle who reminded me to put my tag in because I only had a couple days left and I forgot about it. And he reminded me. And I said something to him and he said, well, they don't find out till July 1st. And that really made me think. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Somebody's screwing with us.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
Yeah, that's cool. So how excited are you, man? I mean, we read your bio a little bit in the press release, I guess you'd call it, that MDC put out. How excited are you for this?
Well, like when I talked to you a few weeks ago,
right?
I'm extremely excited, but it feels like now like the whole world's watching you. So now you got to perform. You know what I mean?
I bet it's a little nerve wracking thinking sure. that I am one of five or one of four other people, one of five, I guess. And if I don't get one, I mean, I guess that's a lot of pressure. I didn't even think of it that way. You know, you think
that's a good point.
You think, I mean, yeah, I got it. No big deal. If I get one, I get it. If not, whatever. But yeah, you're one of five people. You think your odds are pretty good. So I guess you kind of have to perform. So
right.
Yeah,
for sure.
But I wouldn't, you know, let yourself have that pressure. I mean,
yeah,
you've been hunting your, like your bio says, for over 30 years. And that's what hunting yeah. is. It's not always about killing something. It's about experiencing something. And I mean, you have been elk hunting based on your bio. So, you know what it's like to see one of those animals in the wild, and it's not always about the kill. And obviously, yeah, you want to perform and you want to be successful because you're not going to get the opportunity for at least 10 more years after this year.
Not in this state anyways.
Right.
Yeah. But, for sure. You know, I mean, you're going to have fun. I can promise you that. And I think that's what matters most. So,
oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, my wife's already, hey, we need to get down there and do some camping and start doing scouting, you know, and she don't even hunt. So,
you got anybody, any friends going to tag along or?
My middle boy, he just turned 15. He was, he put in for it too, and he already, like, I'm going, I'm filming. I'm fine with that. I'm not going to take a giant crowd, you know, it's going to be me.
Right.
And one other person at the most.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
Do you guys remember we had Aaron Hildreth, the elk biologist, on with MDC, Sam, when they announced the season. And he told us the story about this kid that drew in Kentucky when they first started doing it. And he had like 20 people with him. And it's like this giant crowd of people walking through the woods.
Yep.
But so, I mean, teach their own, but that's probably not the best idea when you're trying to harvest an animal.
Right. I'm a bow hunter. That's what I love to do. So I got to get them a little closer than 150 yards. So.
For sure. Yeah.
Right. So having hunted before, what type of tactics? I mean, are you going to kind of approach the same way you did your Colorado hunt or
was it Colorado? It was Colorado. Here.
Yeah. Yep. Down in Colorado.
Yeah. Have you thought about how you're going to approach things?
Well, I would say I'm going to start out trying to approach things the way I did in Colorado, kind of locate them and maneuver around however it works. You know, if it takes a full day to get where you need to be to get on them, then that's the way it is.
Right.
We'll see how well it works here, you know. But I don't know. I got to do my homework for sure and see what the best options are. But I would say I'm gonna lean that way, you know.
Good.
Find them and then do what I got to do to get around to them to where I think they're going or
right.
However it works.
Yeah. You hinted that your wife was saying that you need to get down there and stuff. So do you plan on going and doing some pre-trip scouting and stuff, I assume?
Yeah. Have you ever been down to that area before or anything? I mean, you're quite a ways from it.
Well, so they range, you know, like I told you the other day, I've never listened to podcasts in my life, and I actually listened to your guys' the other day, the two that you had about elk hunting.
Nice. And, they do exist.
Right. So, and so they range from what Aaron was saying, you know, from the Peck Ranch over to Emmons, Ellington area. We actually had a place down in Ellington down by Clearwater Lake forever. Okay. So I'm familiar, but I've never been in the Peck Ranch.
Right.
Gotcha.
Or over in there. So I know what the country's like. I've ran around it chasing turkeys, so...
Right, so you on. Got a pretty good step up there. I mean, if you've hunted turkey down there, you've hunted elk before. So you sounds like you got a pretty good start there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. My father-in-law actually has his brother lives down in that area, and you know, so he knows it a little bit too. And which any information would help at this point, you know.
Right.
Oh yeah, take what you can get. Sure.
Absolutely. Right. Definitely.
And I think
don't turn anything down.
Yeah, not that other people can't be successful. I mean, we talked to Gene Gilkey as well, one of the other guys that drew, and you know, he's got a good game plan as well. But you know, having hunted elk before, you understand, and you've done it in Colorado, so it's obviously a little bit different terrain, sure. But you understand what it takes. You might have even bugled and called and stuff like that to them back when you did that. So you understand what it takes. And you can take those experiences and use them, you know, here in your first five chance. I mean, you know, you got this and then 10 years you get to sit out. So,
right.
And that's at the minimum, right? I mean, yeah. And if you sit out 10 years and then draw again, I'm going to be jealous of you again.
I'm going to buy you a lottery ticket. Yeah.
Right. I'd be extremely lucky for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
Definitely. What about gear? Do you plan, what kind of, you said you bow hunt, so you going in there light and fast, or are you plan on maybe camping somewhere, or how do you plan on doing that?
I'll definitely camp down there, you know, and hopefully I don't need a full week, but you know how it goes. I might need all 9 days. So I'm going to be a little more prepared than I was in Colorado. You know, in Colorado, I was still... Hell, I was in my 20s, you know, but I didn't know any different, you know, and I went down a regular old backpack, had my stuff in it, you know, but that's not worth fagging out elk, and I can tell you that, especially right. When you got a mile hike, but, you know, you get it, you know, I was fortunate enough, I called that elk in, I shot him at 8 steps.
Oh, wow, so, wow.
Yeah, so they're right on top of you, a big animal, but, right after that's when the work begins.
Yes.
Yeah, then you sure. Go, wait, where the hell am I going to put this meat?
Yeah, so, you know, and I just happened to be by myself. So,
oh, man.
You know, and I had to skin it, quarter it, hang it in trees, and then get all the way back to camp where my brother and my uncle and them were, and then they followed me back out there. I don't know, it was about a mile away to help me get it out. But it's a day process.
No doubt. Yes.
Yeah,
especially when you're by yourself.
Oh yeah, I mean we've been part of it with you know different people that have harvested in the groups, and you're not lying. I mean if you get one early in the morning, you're still not getting back to camp till dark usually.
Yep. I mean, and that's exactly what happened to me. I'm glad it was in the morning.
Yes. Oh, right. Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't be no fun doing all that stuff in the dark. That's for sure.
Right.
So back when you harvested your bull in Colorado. You said you had a backpack, so I'm guessing it wasn't a backpack that was a, you know, had a meat packing abilities. I mean, I know you can throw stuff in the bag.
It was a deer hunting backpack. You know what I mean? Yep. Like a whitetail hunting. It wasn't anything more than that. Yeah. It had everything I needed in it, other than a way to pack that elk out.
So has that experience made you think about buying something that'll pack meat here? If, you know, I don't know how deep you're going to end up being, but, you know, if you do get a couple miles back there, you're going to get something that is a little more packable with meat?
Well, fortunately, over time, you know, I got a lot of friends that own a lot of good equipment I can use if necessary, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's good.
Yeah. That's how we kind of all started. First guys, they went out the first few times, realized, hey, this stuff ain't going to work. And so they started buying and, you know, getting extras. And so then the new guys come along, hey, you can use this one, so you don't have to go buy it. And it works out that way pretty good, actually.
Yeah, it sure does.
Absolutely. You could spend a small fortune, you know, if buying stuff that you might only use once in 10 years.
And
so.
We definitely all have.
And we do.
And we have all been yelled at multiple times by our wives about all the stuff that we do spend.
So. Right. Why do you need that one also? You know?
Yep.
And it's weird. The excuse, because I do, never works.
Yeah. It hasn't yet anyways, right?
I can understand that, though. So, well, dude, we're super excited for you. I mean, we hope that you get the chance to at least see something and obviously harvest. But, you know, we were excited to be able to talk to you and see how you're kind of thinking about doing this. We'd even love, I mean, if you want to, after your hunt's over, it'd be cool to talk to you and see how it went. You know, even if you didn't get something, how'd it go? What'd you see? What'd you not see? You know, that sort of cool stuff. Because what I think's cool about this deal is there's only first five once ever, right? Like, you're always, I mean, when 100 years from now, when we're all dead and gone, your name's going to be in there as one of the first five people in the state of Missouri that got to hunt elk in almost, what, 150 years?
I think it was like 180 or something.
Something like that. I can't remember now.
Long time.
That's pretty freaking cool.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, and I think that's why my wife's more excited than me. I didn't look at it like that. I'm just looking at it like, man, I get an opportunity to hunt these in the state, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Whether I'm the first five or the last five, you know.
Yeah,
it was a chance.
I'm glad they were able to bring them back, and it's working.
Yeah, right. No doubt.
Any, you know.
Well, you're probably looking at it the right way. If you look at it the way I just explained it, where it's this, you know, big thing, which it is, you put more pressure on yourself, like you talked about at the beginning.
Sure.
So you probably shouldn't look at it that way until it's all done, and then you can be like, damn. I did something.
Yeah. I'm a lucky
then you
son
can
of a bitch.
Your story how you need to.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right. So you mentioned you're going for the archery portion mainly. You're a bow hunter. Heaven forbid something doesn't work out there, you don't get anything. Are you going to go rifle season, or are you going to use your bow during rifle season? What would your plan be there?
I'm definitely going to go rifle season, and I believe it'll be, I don't know, I'm curious on how much they're going to change from October to December.
Right.
Yeah. You know, then I think that'll be a last minute decision. Like, how am I take my bow or I better stick with the rifle, you know?
Yeah.
Especially when it gets close to the end, if I hadn't got anything or not. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I assume you probably plan on calling and doing all that first portion, correct?
Yeah, that's my plan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the way Aaron talked, I would definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, they scream their heads off, and they don't really know hunting pressure, at least to them right now. So I would think they're going to be decently easy to call, you know, if you don't sound like a dead squirrel, which all of us do, right?
Right. Well, I wondered, and I don't know this to be – I have no – proof of anything, but I wonder how many people actually go down there and mess with them, calling and stuff, practicing before they head to Colorado. And,
that's a good question. I didn't think of that. Yeah.
No, not that that's here nor there, but still, I just curious if that does happen, you know, if they understand it a little more than what we may think.
Yeah. Well, I know Aaron Hildreth, the MDC elk biologist, I know when we had him on, we asked him about, you know, are they vocal? And he acted like they just scream for, you know, months, for a few months, which is awesome. I drove through Peck Ranch a long time ago in the middle of summer, and there were lots of people there trying to check them out. So, yeah, I'm sure they get messed with, and there's people that, you know, hunt those national forest areas and things like that. So, I'm sure they do get messed with. So, I mean, it might be something that you might not be as...
It might not be shooting fish in a barrel like we're all thinking.
Yeah, because that's what hunting is. Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
right.
Right.
We all have that perfect vision where, you know, day one we walk in, we throw this bugle out, and it comes running right to our plate, and we put an arrow in it at 10 yards and pick it up by the road, right? That's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah,
right. I mean, that's textbook right there. That's what we want. But I hope it's that easy.
Yeah.
For sure.
I would hope the same thing for you, but the textbook never is correct. Never works that way, does it?
No.
Yeah, very rarely. At least not for me, it doesn't.
So it sounds like your son's pretty excited as well to get to tag along and experience that kind of first from Missouri. I mean, is he pretty pumped, I take it?
Yeah, he is. He's I mean, hopefully in the next 10 years he gets drawn and I can go with him.
Absolutely.
You know?
That'd be cool, yeah.
That would be. I think I'd be more excited that way than being able to get drawn, you know, this way.
Right.
Yeah.
It's understandable.
No, that's awesome. You guys got anything else for Sam?
Just
Sam, like
luck.
I said, we really appreciate you coming on, and we wish the best of luck to you. It's, I mean, we're rooting for all five of you guys to harvest something, because while we're jealous that you didn't win, sure, or that we didn't win,
yeah,
you know, we want you all to be able to bring something home, and if you don't, at least really enjoy your time. You know, that's what matters most. If you get to spend those 18 days in the wilderness, hopefully seeing animals, that's what matters most. So if you at least have fun, that I guess that's a win, isn't it?
Absolutely. I don't think that'll be an issue. I'm pretty sure I'll have fun.
There you go.
No doubt.
Awesome.
All right. You guys got anything?
I'm good.
Sam, got anything else you want to say to anybody?
No, I'm good.
All right,
appreciate
dude.
You guys calling.
No, we appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
Good luck to you. Wish you the best of luck.
Thank you, guys.
All right, we'll see you.
Bye.
All right. Thanks for listening to us with Sam. That was a good one.
Yeah, it was.
The other one.
Yeah. So good luck, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, I we're going to say this after every single one, but good luck to him.
Hope the best.
Yeah, wish for the best. We hope to talk to him after it's over.
Right.
I'm just glad it's going. I mean, these tags are going to people who have the passion for it, you know. Both of these two guys, I think, you know, it means something a little bit different, but it's still very special to them.
These tags are going to people that are actually going to hunt.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to get
right.
at.
Yeah, so thanks for coming on, Sam. Seemed like a really cool guy. I think he's from the St. Louis side of the state, if I remember correctly. So best of luck. Next, we have Bill Clark. Bill will be the landowner tag lottery winner, and we will get into it with Bill. All right, on the line, we've got Bill Clark with us. Bill, how's it going?
It's going pretty well today.
Thanks for coming on with us, bud.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Bill is the one that drew the landowner's tag.
Yep.
So this is exciting stuff.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, we're excited to talk to you. Before we get into it, why don't you just introduce yourself, tell the folks I think you might be retired, but tell the folks maybe what you did for a living back in the day, and what is your favorite thing about the Missouri outdoors, other than elk hunting, since that's what we're talking about.
Yes. Well, today, of course, I'm getting close to 80 years old, and I have hunted in the past. I've hunted elk in the Rockies and in tree states. And been successful out there. I hunted back before guides were really needed for out-of-staters, and you know, kind of on my own. And then my wife has hunted with me in Wyoming. We've hunted around encampment in that area and down in the forest south.
Good.
And so I've had one trip to Alaska moose hunting.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
When I was a lot younger, back when my age didn't hold me back, and because that was very complex hunts, that all of those were in the McKinley area and on the Susitna River. And, you know, put in with the airplane and all that and pack in, and it's quite an experience, and for a young guy that's got his beam and bigger with him, I recommend it strongly.
That sounds like a dream hunt right there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, it kind of is, and particularly early on in my life, because it really gave me a better taste for the outdoors and the environment and different environments, many different ones. And I live in Van Buren, Missouri, and so pretty close to the Peck Ranch.
Yeah.
And have land here, and my wife and I came here because we're not tree huggers, but we don't cut them unless they're about ready to fall. And right. Because we love the environment and we love what goes with this region. This region is a fantastic area for being, you know, for what it's done in the way of environment and in particularly the servage, the animal, the deer, mm-hmm. and animals. They brought them all back and they're trying to really establish some pre-settlement kinds of ideas here about wildlife and of course the environment in general. We're close to the current river, and that really has helped immensely as I believe the whole cause of environmentalism and wildlife management. We have issues with wildlife management. There's constant challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And predation is not a serious issue around here at times, but some years, you know, we have turkeys, and some years we don't, for example.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not as hard a hunter as I used to be, because you know, I've tasted a lot of wild game and I like it all. You know, save everything. That's what an environmentalist does anyway, I believe.
Yep.
I think waste nothing, want for nothing. And we actually started the support of the program here because I really believe in that whole concept of adding to the environment what was here in pre-settlement days, if possible.
Yeah.
There's just children and youngsters can only see so many pictures. Eventually, they don't get it unless it's close, and I believe the people in Missouri and even some of the surrounding states have a little gem in the ocean floating here because we can see all kinds of wildlife and environmental conditions of all kinds right here.
Yeah.
And they're real. You know, understand what I mean?
Yep.
We birdwatch. We do everything that you would in this kind of environment, and we love it. I mean,
and that's frankly, why Missouri's so great.
Yeah,
it's all those opportunities.
Missouri's really got a lot to offer.
Yes.
Now I've hunted north. I've hunted up north Moberly in past years on deer,
mm-hmm.
and had a draw hunt up there years ago, and so, but this area in the Ozarks really is just supreme. It's accessible. It's not like a lot of other areas in the lower and the southern Ozarks in Arkansas and down in Oklahoma. But some of those mountains down in there are really tough,
mm-hmm.
and access to the region can be tough. But we've got everything that anyone could desire to see right here. And when the elk program thoughts came out, first thing I did was hop in the truck and go to Kentucky. Yeah. And I wanted to, because we knew it was going to happen here. I mean, around the Peck Ranch, that mm-hmm. was the plan. And so, and just tried to get an idea of what they were going through from an environmental standpoint. They had a lot of advantages in their program, but this, they don't have any better environmental advantages than we have right here. And
right. Sure.
I'm really excited about the elk program. And frankly, we joked around about it. My neighbor and I joked about it. We put in our 4-hour drawing, and I thought there'd be a lot of people in the draw in this area, and there weren't very many. And I think some of the people here are kind of like me. They're a little bit spoiled. We get to see the animals at times of the year,
mm-hmm.
you know, it varies quite a bit. But don't necessarily see them in the summer so much, but we will see them when they're moving into the park a lot. and in particular on the north end of the park, you see a lot more than you actually do right here. But we put in for the draw, not expecting necessarily to be picked, but to support the program. You know, whatever it takes to support the program. We've got land here, and we're in the Elk region, and we're on the boundary. You know, I'm just a mile and a half from the park on the myself. And so, you know, we improved the land. We did a little bit with our glades and have been steadily working at it for the last 6-7 years. Uh-huh. And and it's really helped, the deer population a little bit. And it's helped the sightings. You know, I've got a lot of pictures of elk at various times of year. One year didn't get any pictures, you know, because it varies quite a bit.
Is that using game cameras or just from you, I mean, to actually taking pictures?
Exactly. Yeah. I'll use game cameras.
Okay.
A lot. And I'll go out and go ahead.
I was just going to ask, how long have you guys been in that area? How long have you lived there?
We've had this property, about 25 years. Oh, I retired here and to this area because we really bought it of living here when we retired.
Okay.
And
I'll tell you, listening to you for the first couple minutes, Bill, we were already jealous of you. And then you started talking about hunting in Alaska.
Uh-huh. That
now,
did it.
Now we're more jealous of you.
Well, I'll tell you what. This area has so much to offer. A lot of guys, when they're young, they really, and I did, really fancy, you know, a sheep hunt somewhere, you know, in Utah or down in New Mexico. And I did. You know, I did that. I went to old Mexico and things like that when I was young. But you reach a point in your life where, you know, you start looking around. You know, slow down a little bit and thinking about environmentalism in a broad sense. If you're a hunter, if you you're going to do that. And here we are in the Ozarks. I have the satisfaction right here with this elk program to be able to have flashbacks, actually, of hunts. But I just think about all the young people that will never get a chance to do one of those hunts. And guess what? They don't necessarily need to drop a few big bills on a hunt in the Rockies. That's serious folding money these days. Oh. And here we have it right here. You can come in for picture day over in the Peck Ranch area and see all the elk you want and see them in their natural environment. And so I'm overwhelmed by what the state of Missouri has done, you know, through DNR, of course, and Development Conservation, because They're working on the environment. And guess what? They're working on pre-settlement conditions, too.
Yeah. I think what surprises me...
I'm a salesman for that. I think that's
me too.
A big deal.
Do you find... You know, I mean, obviously, you live down there, and I'm sure you got a group of people you talk to. Do you find that most of the people down there are supportive of the program, or do you find some find it negative? Yeah, resistance in it.
I think they're broadly supportive. And everybody wants to be drawn, and I regard this as an honor to represent the hunters here and do the hunt correctly and do it right and set an example if possible. Now, I must admit that that's only been the last few years I've felt that vigorous about the issue.
Yeah.
But this program is a huge boon to this area.
Yeah, I think so.
And a lot of people have put themselves out on a limb to make this program work, and I'm not going to do anything but help them.
Yeah,
period.
Right. And I don't think it would have been. I don't think the program would have gotten off the ground had they not had the support of the surrounding local landowners down there. And,
sure.
You know, sure. That we talked one of our first episodes when we talked about the possibility of the elk season. And one of the things I remember one of us saying, I don't remember which one, when they talked about reintroducing the elk about 10 years ago, one of the first thoughts I had was, okay, that's cool, but I'm never going to have the opportunity.
We wouldn't see
Maybe
it.
My right. kids will someday. And I cannot believe that not even 10 years later, I think they reintroduced them in 11, yeah.
in
technically.
Yes, sir.
So yep. not even 10 years later,
here we are.
Five people, not a lot, but five people are going to have the opportunity to hunt elk in our state. And what I think's cool about it, Bill, is not to put any pressure on you, but you're one of the first five ever.
There's only one first, yeah.
In the last 150 years or whatever it is since the elk have been in Missouri that will get the opportunity to hunt them. I think that's pretty awesome. Well, how did you find out
about what?
About getting drawn? Did you get a phone call, an email? How did
yeah,
you find
I got
out,
a phone
and what
call.
Was your reaction?
My first reaction was, "What number did you dial?" first thing I said is, "Who is this?" And I almost hit the kill button on the phone because. I had no idea that, putting in the $10 to do the draw would actually succeed. And I'm still kind of in shock about it because, why? I believe in what this area has to offer. I believe in the program, and I'm a proponent.
Yep.
You'll find naysayers anywhere. And, but I don't deal with them. I have no interest in that. I have interest in environmental and animal life
mm-hmm.
and whatever it takes to keep them healthy.
Yeah.
Yep. For sure.
And I think this hunt, I would have expected the department to even consider, thinning the older animals because these animals have done quite well. I'm just shocked that they have adapted to the forage and to all the conditions that the just like the deer have.
Yeah.
And because there were issues with we know that there were quite a few issues in Kentucky and probably some serious issues here,
mm-hmm.
but I'm blind to those because I'm in the middle of it.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't see that. I see it as natural progression and improvement of the program. That's what I see.
Well, hopefully you can help out and take one of those big old bulls out of
yeah.
out of the herd.
Well,
there, you
that's
know?
One. You're onto something.
There you go.
I was actually told to take the biggest, stinkiest. You understand
that's right.
where I'm going.
Oh,
get one of the big ones. And now, in past years, we've seen some nice elk here. I mean, they actually have the confirmation of the Rocky Mountain elk, and they are beautiful animals. I'm always at awe
absolutely.
When I see them. I've never chased since I was young, and. I have a bad habit of glassing them and putting the scope on them in past years and just leaving it stuck on them, just looking.
Yep.
Because I'm in awe of the animal itself.
Yeah.
And they are different. The elk are unique, even though they're deer. We know that. And I can't tell you how many deer I put in the freezer in my life. But but I will say, these are different. And they offer a facet
yep.
to the wildlife and to the environment that is nowhere else
yeah.
in the state. And I'm just blessed to be living here. And I'm glad to have the opportunity to get one of those big old ones. And help a little bit. I think the people of Missouri ought to be really proud that the state is not hiring
hunters to come in and thin their herd.
No, yeah.
And obviously that's what the drawing is about. Mm-hmm. And to help other hunters come in and do the necessary thinning. Now, I admit they're kind of tiptoeing into this program because who knows what's going to happen?
It's a lot of unknowns there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. This
tons of unknowns and tons of risk. Now, I've talked to some of the people in the state of Oklahoma when they put them down the Washita Mountains, and I lived there quite a few years in the past, and hunted over in Arkansas too. Boy, there have been big issues, and they have their elk acclimatized to an area that's very difficult to tend. The tending of the animals is during the early phases is very difficult.
Yeah.
And here we have the blessing of, you know, an environment that just is fantastic to support them. And no wonder they were so popular with the natives who lived here many years ago. I've got a lot of books here about...
Well, they're delicious. And they're gigantic.
Yeah, they knew what they were doing.
They're very careful.
You look at an elk and a deer, and you go, let's see, this one weighs 700 pounds. This one weighs 150.
Oh, boy. Yeah. But those people, the early settlers here, and then I'm talking about native people, pre-settlement, they worshiped the elk. Mm-hmm. And they did it for a reason, because in this region with old-growth forest, you know, even in these hills in the Ozarks, you could see a mile under the trees. I mean, they were big trees. They were spread out. They're wide open, kind of wide open spaces. And people forget that. And obviously, the region is not old growth forest anymore, except in very, very few places.
Mm-hmm.
And those ought to be jealously guarded, I say, by the people of Missouri, because there's some big oak trees here that are 30, 40 feet around.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell you where they are.
We don't blame you there.
You're going to have to find them. And for obvious reasons.
Yeah, once they're gone, they're gone.
We don't want them carved in. We don't want, you know, we really think the environment's an important issue. I've said the word environment already so many times, but this is my life.
Yeah.
And I'm really proud of it. And thankful for it.
So, Bill, you and I talked a little bit whenever I first called you, and I was a little worried you were going to say the same thing you thought about saying to the Department of Conservation when they called you, when I first called you. But you were nice to me, so I appreciate that. But
well, I was told to expect a call or two from various people.
Yep.
And then right after we talked, I went to your website. I'm a couple of your podcasts and I really liked them. I think you guys do a great job, and I hope everybody can appreciate how you dig into your subject matter. And I hope I can do this for you in that regard and help you. And the people of Missouri have got to hear these kinds of testimonials from individuals firsthand.
Yeah,
they just got to hear it. You can't read about this in a book. It's just not the same thing. It doesn't have the same flavor. And I've watched a couple of your podcasts two or three times because I might have missed something. They were so interesting.
Do you hear my head inflating?
we really do appreciate that, Bill. That means a lot to us. I mean, those kind words.
It's tough business. And I've had... not any direct experience, but I've had some relatives that ran some of the same kind of programs in other states, and they're very difficult and to package together and to flow from cast to cast or week to week, and
it's hard work.
Yeah, well, we don't say we do a good job at it, but we try.
We try. We're having fun with it either way.
You're doing just fine.
Let's start talking about elk again.
Yeah, let's do that.
So I'm wondering, have you given any thought to what you're going to try to do as far as
strategy?
You know, your hunt? I mean, you know, the first season is archery, and I don't know if you bow hunt anymore, but are you going to give that a shot?
I believe I talked to my cousin today in down in Texas, and he said that he is going to come up here and bring his crossbow up. I can't pull that 60-pound less bear anymore, and I'm just not physically able to do it.
Yeah,
I have bow hunted with it and been successful with it in many years past, 50 years ago. But I believe I might try the bow hunt this year with crossbow, and I want to make sure that the department knows what I'm doing and such. I may go ahead and do that because sometimes we see them. Now we're going to have, you know, the deer bow hunts going on at the same time, and so you do end up with quite a little bit of traffic in the area,
mm-hmm.
but almost all those hunters are stealth hunters and who are bow hunting.
Yeah.
And we don't get too many, you don't understand what I mean. We have enough of a region here, and there's great deer hunting all over this state. You know, I'm looking for the department to do some things. I've been kind of pounding on them a little bit to do some things in the big cities.
Yeah.
And bow hunting is ultimately a very safe sport that is very suitable.
Unless
for
you're around Micah.
Metropolitan areas. And so I think that is a worthwhile program. Now, some of the areas don't necessarily care for hunting in general, but we need some education. We need some outreach to children. This is a generational problem.
Yep.
It's you know, if you can't convince somebody in the first 2 minutes, you're not going to probably. They dig in quick.
That's very true. Very true.
It's just what happens. It's true of everything in this day and age because everybody is so exposed to everything. So everybody's got that opinion.
Yep.
And so I think it's a generational problem. I think your program is of outreach is useful to outreach.
Yeah.
And getting kids to look at your podcast, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah.
And, thank you.
Well, and to circle back around to what you were saying, I think I would definitely give that crossbow a shot. I would guess, you know, crossbows are legal to use now during archery season.
Oh, absolutely.
So I would guess you would be fine.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. And I've talked to the game ranger here, a couple of them, and there isn't any issue there.
Right.
Yeah. So the thing is, I want to make sure I'm close. I'm used to shooting 400 or 500 yards in the old days and out and farther.
Right.
And but here, we're close in tight, and with a bow, it's the same as a scope and long distance. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Right?
Yep. And I've got some experience with bow hunting, and that is
a combination of both.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a combination, but you still got the same intensity and necessity for being proficient at the close range with the bow as mm-hmm. you do with rifle at distance. So,
no doubt.
I get it. I have never wounded an animal ever.
That's amazing. That's fantastic.
Give
that animal the respect patience. It needs. Yep.
Patience.
And then I'm guessing if you don't get anything with that crossbow, which is a great idea to have your family member bring that up and let you borrow it or whatever and get used to it, but I'm guessing if you don't get anything there, you're gonna go out during rifle and give her hell.
Absolutely. My very best.
So since you got the landowner's tag, I'm assuming that means that you have to harvest the elk on your land, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So that's why I didn't
makes it even harder
that.
On Bill than anyone else. Yeah, really.
I figured he could go.
Well, do you have a you don't have to tell, but I mean, do you have a small piece of ground, or do you have enough where you think you'll have a good shot to, you know, get out there and try to find them?
Well, I've got 80 acres I've seen quite a few elk in the region. I will admit, on drive arounds that I've done just to see the animals in the fall as if I was hunting them, you know, scouting mm-hmm. them in a mm-hmm. sense. I see a lot more in north of the Peck Ranch. But, you know, that's the luck of the draw.
Yep,
right.
And sometimes a person can come up dry. I'll probably cry like a baby if I come up dry, because I think it's so important.
Yeah.
And I'm attaching importance to it.
Yeah.
That truly is not there. You know, this is a desire I have to just represent other hunters who would love to trade places and to do show some honor.
Yeah.
Do the task and treat it for what it is. It's a privilege, a huge privilege.
Yeah.
To be able to hunt these animals in the Ozarks.
Yeah.
And I think we can all agree. We appreciate your viewpoint on that. For, you know, as people not in that area and not able to get that opportunity, it means a lot that it is going to someone who it does mean that much to.
Yeah. And at the same time, we talked to one of the other guys that drew. And he kind of mentioned that he feels like he's got pressure on himself, just like you said. And while I can understand that, I mean, you know, there's five people, and there's probably a lot of people that are talking to you. And I know Sam had said that people had reached out to him that he's never talked to. And while I can understand that you might feel that pressure, I would do my best to just enjoy the 18 days, or is it an 18 days?
I think it's
two nine-day period. The 18 days you're given. And if you don't harvest one, you know, we've all hunted our whole lives. I mean, it happens. You've hunted a lot longer than we have. And
And I've come back empty.
Yep.
And I hunted hard.
Yep.
And in those days, and still come back empty. And it's not to be.
Yeah.
The environment, Mother Earth, she's got her own plan, you know?
Yep.
We're a tad superfluous in this situation, in my opinion. Yeah. And it is a privilege to have an experience.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not successful. That's just the bottom line.
Hey, the advantage is, if you don't draw, I think you get to apply again next year. Isn't that correct about landowners?
Yeah, but you know this is my shot.
Sure, right. You know, but I'm just saying, you never know, right?
The odds go way down after this.
I'm creeping up on old age. You got to take those kind of things into account if you can.
Yeah,
I've got so many memories, and they wear thin. It'd be nice to have another great memory to tack on.
Yeah,
you understand what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
That's the pressure I feel.
Well,
who would have ever dreamed?
That's what hunting is, though, is memories. You know, we've talked about, we've all said this before, it's not always about the harvest. Sometimes it's just about the memories you make with the people you're doing those things with. And we wish you nothing but luck. And hopefully you are able to harvest one. But either way, we'd love to maybe talk to you after your hunts and see how it went and the fun stories that you might have. Heck, it might just be seeing an elk for 20 seconds, but it was that one chance, you know, that you had. And sometimes, you know, Micah, you and I last year out in Colorado just saw the one one cow for about 30 seconds.
And three cows.
Three cows, yeah. Whatever it was. Yeah. I didn't see much. You know, and while that's all you get, it's still...
It made it worth it.
It makes it worth it.
Part of the experience, yeah. And it carries me back to my grandfather and my great-grandfather, who were born in the 1800s, and I hunted with them when I was 2 to 3 years old. And guess what? I don't remember the harvest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the stories. I remember the jokes. I remember the lighter moments and the conversations. The conversations were conversations that I can still say today.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's the meaning of it.
That's all right.
But like I say, it's the memories, and it's not always the harvest. That's when the work starts with bigger animals.
Sure does.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah. So, you know, you have to be to do the justice to the hunt. The harvest is going to be hard. It's going to be physical, and it's always going to be difficult. I never was on a hunt in my life where they hopped in the truck.
I've been trying and trying, but I agree. It just does not happen.
Never.
You know, we're talking, if somebody breaks that code, be sure and make a note of it, please, and podcast it, because I want to know.
There you go.
But when you cut the animals in 8 pieces and you're trying to get to the lake to be picked up, and you're 3 miles from pickup,
yep,
walking in the hardest muskeg in the world, I mean, most difficult to walk in the world, you better be ready for that.
Yeah.
That is non-trivial. And it holds in mountains, in the Rockies as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know which mountain you're going to be running up.
Nope. Has anybody ever tried to put the tailgater of their truck down and just start whistling and see what happens?
Whistling, yeah.
A couple times.
Come out with a cow call and see what happens.
Well, Bill, I think I speak for all three of us. Congratulations on getting drawn. I've only known you for, you know, a couple weeks now, but it couldn't have gone to a better landowner. We're excited for you, and we hope that you get that opportunity to have to deal with about 700 pounds of meat in front of you.
Be awful. Just be terrible.
I appreciate
your comments, and they are falling on open ears for sure.
Good.
Okay.
Good. Well, thank you.
You guys got anything else for Bill?
No, I think that's it for me.
Good luck, and thank you.
Yeah. Let us know what happens.
Hope you didn't put the hex on me.
No, we're good luck. That's all right. We are, right?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
All right, Bill. We'll talk to you later.
Yes, sir. Thank you a lot.
Bye.
Bye.
How lucky are those guys?
Without a doubt.
Pretty lucky.
Yep.
We've said it about, what, like 12 times already on this show?
We've said it to each one of them, how we were jealous. And so there's a running theme, but that's okay.
It's a running theme, and it's the truth. That's why we are jealous of them.
I'm just super excited to talk to them now after this is all over. That's going to be... I don't know.
Yeah, if we didn't scare him off.
I'll be waiting on that for a while.
If we didn't scare him off, it'd be cool to talk to him afterwards.
Yeah.
Whether they do or don't harvest something, I hope every single one of them does, but it'd still be cool to talk to him afterwards. You know, like especially Gene and Sam not being from the area, if they see any, you know, or if they didn't even, you know, they got skunked, which I hope doesn't happen. Right. I hope they're just an elk every day.
I want to hear stories. I mean, every hunt, every trip, same with us, you know, taking our trip that's coming up here, the stories that come back from it, that's all about for me, I guess.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing, is listening to other people's stories. So it was good episode. I thought talking to those guys would give everybody a really cool perspective on the actual, I mean, it's happening.
The opportunity.
You know, it's happening in our state. Right. It's not just... And what's cool is, I mean, Mike, I think you made a comment on our first episode about, like, well, everybody, you know, these tags are already spoken for.
Right. Well, I mean, that's what everybody said.
Yeah.
If you got on any of the platforms before they actually drew,
right,
they were saying that it was going to go to, you know,
So governors.
And that's not what governor, happened.
Yeah, and all that stuff. So, and that's not. I mean, we.
These are normal guys.
We called these guys up. One of them's not 45 minutes from, I mean.
From where we live, yeah.
Yeah, it's
the other
awesome.
Dude's a carpenter, and the other, I mean, and Bill, the landowner, is.
He's retired.
Retired, damn near 80 years old. So, yeah. It's really cool. Just normal guys like all of us. So. And we wish them nothing but success. Hope every single one of them has a problem packing out an elk, and yes. We'd be happy to try to help them out if they needed it. So, yeah. We're only a few hours away.
Yeah.
So you guys got anything else?
No, I think that'll do it.
Just hope they enjoyed our bull session.
Yep, there it is. I freaking knew it. God. Holy cow. You can't stop making stupid jokes.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. All right, guys. Give
I
it a listen.
Like last talk. Thing.
Go ahead. Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
gosh. Rushing us off, Micah.
How it does connect to our biologist episode, though.
Yeah.
Listening to what he was talking about, and then especially with Bill there, kind of the resident around it. So,
yeah. You know. He's a big supporter of this program, obviously, based on what we listen to. So, which is cool. I mean, you need that support to be able to have this season happening.
Yep. Exactly.
So,
Now can we
get off, Micah? Is it okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Thanks for listening, folks.
Catch you later.
See ya.
Bye.